God's pride. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our hope and redeemer. Fake news. With what terrible irony have we become familiar with that expression in recent times? Fake news. Alternative facts. We, of course, associate this in particular with the previous American President Donald Trump. But the truth and the reality is somewhat broader than that. Fake news has been with us for a while. And it's not just in terms of the cynicisms and the power plays of politics. It is in many respects embedded into our culture, our post-enlightenment culture that values facts over truth, and which regards truth as being immune to critique or analysis. And so facts have become prioritized over truth, and we have forgotten that facts, being discrete data points, are also subject to interpretation and distortion. And hence, we can have a spokesperson for the American president with a straight face claim that they have alternative facts. And we can hear and receive politicians and others talking about fake news simply as a way of dismissing the inconvenient truths or critiques of their respective positions. Fake news. It's become part of our lexicon. It's become part of the lens through which we view the world. But, you see, it's not simply a matter of distortion, of politicians and advertisers and others manipulating facts in order to sway us to their point of view. Because the truth is, we all engage in one way or another in fake news, particularly in those awkward moments when we are confronted with our history, with what we've said or done in the past, and we try and reinterpret that reality to worm our way out of a difficult situation, as I believe Mr. Morrison has discovered during the course of this week in respect of electric vehicles. But we all do it. And it's also a product of our often wanting to interpret things in a way that suit our particular preferences or prejudices. We are also guilty of fake news when we try to manipulate something toward our own ends. And we have a very good example of that in today's reading from the Gospel according to Mark. It is a reading that is familiar to all of us because, again, it's one of those almost archetypal moments in Scripture that we've all read about, that we've all heard about, that we all recognize. And it's Jesus talking about the temple and the destruction of the temple. But there's fake news in this reading. Or at least there's fake news in the way that this reading tends to be interpreted and tends to be analyzed. And there's an irony there too. Because Jesus says the temple will be destroyed. Now often unconsciously we read that as Jesus saying, I will destroy the temple. But he doesn't say that, he just simply says the temple will be destroyed. But Jesus' opponents in the religious hierarchy and in the political leadership would later bring a charge against Jesus saying he declared he would destroy the temple. Which of course is fake news. It's a manipulation, it's a distortion of what Jesus actually said. And the reason why Jesus' accusers brought this bit of fake news against him was to portray him as a political agitator. Someone who was a threat to not just the Jewish establishment, but to their Roman overlords. And so Jesus could be portrayed as a political agitator, as a dissident, as a subversive. And of course he was all of those things. But his subversion and his dissidence and his agitation were all directed toward reorienting human life toward the kingdom of God. And that in itself is a threat to political establishments, because it's reorienting people away from the basis of their own power. And so we have the irony of a situation that is fake news, but is also kind of true. But Jesus didn't say he would destroy the temple, merely that it would be destroyed. And the further irony of that is that Jesus wasn't the first person who said that. The prophet Jeremiah talks repeatedly about the temple being destroyed. So this was nothing new in terms of Jewish sacred history. And indeed, in the 2nd century BC, when Judea was a vassal state of the Seleucid Empire, one of the successor states to the Empire of Alexander the Great, they rebelled against the Seleucids because their soldiers desecrated the temple. And again, in the early 1st century BC, the Roman general Pompey again desecrated the temple, which led to riots and other disturbances. So in truth, the temple had always been, in some respects, hugely vulnerable. And we know that Mark was written shortly after, or possibly even during, the failed Jewish revolt against the Romans of 67 to 70 AD. And the Romans, under the general Titus, captured Jerusalem and leveled the temple. So for the community to whom Mark is writing, there is a reality in this passage that matches their own direct experience. They have lived to see the temple destroyed. But of course, the temple is a metaphor. It's a metaphor for Jesus himself. And the rebuilding of the temple is also not just a metaphor for Jesus' own resurrection, it is a metaphor for the kind of temple that would be rebuilt in the wake of his resurrection. Which is a temple not built of stones, but of people. And of this temple, Jesus was to be the cornerstone. A temple of people founded on the person of Jesus. And there's irony there too. When you consider our addiction to building and property and location, when you consider all the vast cathedrals and temples that have been raised in the last 2,000 years, which are extraordinary and beautiful places. I had the very great privilege a number of years ago to go to Notre Dame in Paris, which is an extraordinary structure, and it was heartbreaking to see the fire. But it's not the temple Jesus was talking about rebuilding. And this is where we come into it, where our fake news comes into it. Because Jesus talked to his disciples about wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and false prophets coming along. And this has all too often been read in literal terms of people looking out for signs of things happening and trying to match what is written on the page to what's going on around us. And indeed the community to whom Mark was writing could have done this. Because at the same time that the Jewish revolt was happening, there was huge tumult within the Roman Empire. There was a civil war going on. And the year 70 is in fact remembered as the year of four emperors, when there were a succession of usurpers on the imperial throne. So they could have easily interpreted these words to mean, oh look, that's happening and that's happening and this is happening, so now must be the time when the Messiah is coming. And we've been doing it ever since. And we still do it today. And we look around and we see conflict in the world. And we see that a volcano has gone off here and an earthquake has happened there. And we line up our ducks in a row. Except it's fake news. Because that's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't saying, when X, Y, and Z happens, then I'll be coming. Because, of course, we know that Jesus has also said, no one knows the hour. But we forget that bit, and we concentrate on this bit, because it's easier for us to manipulate. And there are always those who come along who want to manipulate our hopes and our expectations. And at the time that Jesus was active, there were a lot of these messianic movements going on amongst the Jewish community. And they've left their remnants and their evidence at places like Qumran on the Dead Sea and in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they were all hoping and longing for liberation, primarily from the Romans. But Jesus wasn't there to give them that kind of liberation, but something far greater. And so those hopes remained. And every time someone came along and said, yep, I'm him, follow me, people projected their own hopes onto that person and allowed themselves to be manipulated, because they willingly wanted to manipulate what was in the scripture for their own purposes. Fake news. And you had a series of false prophets like Simon Magus come along and attract followers and distract and divide. And it's no coincidence that the bulk of Paul's writing to the communities he founded was about warning them against distraction, against these false prophets, and warning them not to read their own prejudices and preferences into Scripture. Because that's how you end up with fake news. Because false prophets only exist and come along and are successful because our desire for fake news, news that suits us, is what feeds their power. So where's the hope in all of this? Did you notice at the very end of that passage, where after talking about all of this, Jesus says, these are but the birth pangs, the beginning. That's where the seed of hope resides. Because it reminds us that our expectation that what will happen is that the Messiah will come along and wipe the slate clean and begin again is wrong. It reminds us that the fulfillment of the kingdom of God comes out of this reality, of this world, of this existence. It proceeds out of. It isn't replaced or discarded or set aside. It emerges from. It is a process of rebirth. Because that is the purpose of creation. The hopeful purpose of being and of existence itself. There was a theologian and saint in the early church called Athenaeus, and he famously wrote, God became human so that humans might become God. Which isn't to say that, you know, we're one day going to become divine, immortal beings. But rather, that our true nature and our true purpose and our true reality and that of creation itself exists and abides in the being of God. And it's here. It exists in this world, in this creation. And the purpose of this world and this creation is to give birth to that fulfillment. And we are, all of us, part of that. But what we need to do is to stop listening to fake news. Not just the fake news of false prophets, but the fake news of how we want things to be. And pay attention instead to the real news, the real hope that is nested in today's reading from Mark. The hope that God is here and abides among us and is bringing into being the full fruitfulness and purpose that was our intention, or was God's intention from the beginning of creation itself. We are not a a fallen estate. We are an emerging, a coming into being. And it is glorious and it is wonderful. And yes, there will be hiccups and troubles and distractions along the way. But the purpose is set. We just simply have to pay attention to the love and to the grace and to the extraordinary indwelling of God that exists for and among us all. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.